Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Cinema with the Guys, episode 25, man. As usual, I'm your host, Scott, at Barbershare Scott on Twitter and Instagram. Got my brother Flows in the building. You can follow him at Flows Andolini on Twitter and Instagram. You can follow the brand, the Barbershare Network, at Barbershare Net on Twitter and Instagram. Subscribe to the Patreon, patreon.com/Barbershare Network. When you listen to this, there'll be a new Summer Sessions OT. We back after a month. Soprano season 3 is finally up. So y'all go ahead and check that out.
Never do that again.
Season,
I do it for the people, bro.
Season 4 is coming. I don't know when, but it's going to come. But we are here. Also, I want to give a shout out to everybody who's been listening and watching my show, I'm Not Gonna Hold You, on Barbershare Net and H&B Media. I appreciate all the love and support. And y'all keep checking it out. But y'all are here to hear about what's been going on with Loki, man. And today we're going to talk about Loki episode 4. We're going to be talking about the new Shang-Chi trailer. We're going to be talking about Many Saints of Newark trailer. And we're going to discuss a little bit of one of the most ridiculous movies ever, F9 Fast Saga. Before we get into our breakdown, and I will not be doing scene by scene, I will be doing bullet points this time, because I'm not going to lie to y'all, I'm tired of doing that shit. Be real, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work when we wanting to write all that shit down, and these episodes be long as fuck, but we'll still give y'all as much information as possible. But what did you think about this week's episode?
Oh, fantastic. I mean, I don't know if it's my, I'm not even sure. It may be my favorite episode, and I think it did the correct way. You don't bring in... it didn't start off with just what's the word? Like, I'm trying to think of the word where some effect, dramatic effect, or you know, big reveals just for the sake of big reveals. Did happen, everything happened within a purpose, and it happened within the fit within the narrative of the story. When you look up at the first two episodes, it seems like the TVA are just doing, you know, preventing a multiversal war. And then you start to hear, but then you have a few things that make you wonder. Their helmets resemble 1940s Third Reich Nazi Germany. I don't know what the I wonder if there's a specific name for Nazi helmets. Nazi helmet name. I wonder what they were called. The Stahlhelm, the German steel helmet, has been worn since World War One, and it was in service until 92. So maybe not necessarily, let me correct it, not necessarily Nazi, but when you see that helmet, the first thing you think of is, oh, it's a Nazi helmet. You know what I mean? It's colloquially a Nazi helmet. So when you see the TVA wearing them in the beginning,
people, colloquially, college word.
Colloquially is just commonly said.
College word.
So there are things you say, like, you know, there are words you say when it's for a professional setting, like saying the word colloquially. And then there are words you say commonly. You ain't gonna say slang in certain settings, but those are words you say all the time. But yeah, and so there are tidbits and hints that TVA is acting weird, but at the same time, I guess they seem okay. You know, I guess so. Not 100% sure. And then you start to say, okay. And then you find out with female Lady Loki, aka Sylvie, that, oh no, they just straight up kidnapped her. And then, oh, everybody's been kidnapped. And then, the freaking timekeepers are frauds. Huh. So I'm also intrigued how they're going to do that, because the timekeepers are actually real. I don't want them to pull a Mandalorian. A Mandalorian, but
Ralph Boner?
No, what was the character in Iron Man 3?
Oh, Mandarin.
Mandarin. I don't want them to pull that. I would like the timekeepers to been real or have been real. One of those will work. It's intriguing. It's intriguing to see how they are creating the story. And I think this may be my favorite episode. I'm not 100% sure, but it's 100% sure the best Marvel show that has been released on Disney Plus. Like, I mean, by far. We got 2 episodes left, but I mean, they'd have to drop the ball in an epic proportion.
They'd have to pull a Nick Anderson.
You know what I'm saying? So,
my overall thoughts before we get into the breakdown, I think it was a ride from front to back. You know, I just peeped you someone on some session yesterday. I just said it was a ride. It was a ride from front to back with this episode, man. To me, it's my favorite episode and the best episode out of all 3 of the series. Yeah. Like, it was just like, this was a series finale type shit. You know what I'm saying? It's just the way they had it from the intro all the way to the end. And it's just like, I was on the edge of my seat from the first fucking scene. Like, oh shit, nigga, that's Asgard. To the end scene, the end credit scene with all the damn Lokis. And I want you to explain that later in the pod, because it was like, I don't know who nigga Loki is, but I want you to explain that later on. But it was just, man, I enjoyed it. And I think they're really setting this up where it's going to open up a lot of things going forward. Like, I really think you're going to see, like, maybe this is the last time. I'm not saying that, you know, when he got zapped that that's the end of him. Cause no, I don't, obviously that's not it, but this might be the last time we see Tom Hiddleston as Loki in this series. And it was just exciting front to back. So I loved it, man. Let's just get right into it. Let's start off with the episode starts basically with Sylvie's Asgard backstory, where you kind of see her in Asgard. It looked like she was like in a throne room or something. She was like playing with her toys. She had black hair, which is something that they pointed out. And you see Ravonna coming in and basically arrest her for her crimes against the sacred timeline. And you know, they really show her going into back into the TVA, and she's got her little TVA prisoner outfit on for like a baby, which is hilarious. And she basically escapes from her trial with Ravonna. And that's basically how she's been on the run ever since then. And so that to me was kind of interesting, because when she was telling Loki about her, you know, come up, she didn't mention Asgard.
Mm-hmm.
So
there's a lot of niggas who thought she was just straight up the Enchantress. And I'm like, no, that's a literal Loki. She is literally Loki. But she has she doesn't have the same connection to Asgard that the canon Loki for the show has. And so it would make sense for her to want to change her name to something different. How they will explain the Sylvie connection is something else. But it was really good for them to confirm and get that freaking stupid theory that, oh no, she's just the Enchantress. She was never actually Loki. No, she's Loki. She's one of the millions upon billions of however many it is versions of Loki.
Yeah, so it's just, and so it, I like how they show like the black hair too, because that was something that like kind of stood up. And then they even show like later on in the episode, she was talking about how long she had to run. You know how she said it sucked. And like you really kind of like see like the, I won't say human side, because she's not really human, but like the human side of her and really seeing like why she's been doing what she's been doing. So I thought that was cool to see. Then we get into Ravonna's like, she's like in the golden elevator that we all knew from the past episode where Hunter C20 was telling Sylvie about the gold elevator that leads up to the timekeepers. So I'm watching this like, oh shit, nigga, are we actually gonna see the fucking timekeepers? And so she goes in there, you see the silhouette of the timekeepers, and it's like, you don't really get to see their faces yet. But you could tell that she's getting ready to have a conversation with him. They had little lights in the background to kind of make it a little scary or whatever. So basically she's walking out after she gets done. Look like they kind of chewed her out. And that's when you see Mobius. And Mobius is asking her what happened. And, you know, then he's wondering where Hunter C20 was. And she basically reveals to Mobius that Hunter C20 was dead and that, you know, Sylvie played with her head and she was too far gone and there's no way we could have fixed it, which we all kind of knew from the beginning was bullshit. And what you're seeing in the episode, you're starting to see Ravonna become the big bad so far. Like, we didn't really know what her angle was or what her plot, not plot, but like her, you know, what her role was in the TVA that much until this episode. And so that's what you really start to see there. And then you see Loki and Sif's interaction, which was interesting because now was this, I'm trying to think, Loki and Sif, this was before, but I want to get to something before that. We saw Loki and Sylvie talking, and that's on the planet. They're on Lamentus as it was blowing up. Now remember, a lot of people when the trailer came out, even me at first, not gonna stunt, niggas like, is that Nat? Is that Black Widow? We didn't know who the fuck Sylvie was or if there was gonna be Lady Loki in this show. And obviously it wasn't.
It looked like Nat from behind.
The back, yeah.
So I can't like I'm not gonna stunt, you know, I mean, get at you, get be mad at you too much for for saying that. Some people just get upset at the concept of there being something revealed in the trailer or there being some type of theory. Just bullshit. Nope, nope. Don't be a dumbass. No, I mean, it's possible. You know what I mean? It's possible for that to have been it. But as we saw, of course, it wasn't. But it did look like Ned from behind. I was like, what in the world? I'm like, is he going to get a soul stone or something? What is this?
Yeah, when I originally saw the trailer, I thought maybe he went back in time or he was playing with the different timelines and he was able to talk to Nat within the Soul Stone. Mm-hmm. I didn't fucking know. So I'm not going to be the guy like, ha ha, you motherfuckers didn't know that shit. There'll be a lot of people who be doing that shit on Twitter and they didn't even fucking know themselves.
Exactly.
So, but yeah, so after that, once they have that conversation, you see they're picked up by the TVA and they're both put in like, handcuffs, and they had like a little thing around their neck, and they went in one interrogation room. They put Sylvie in one interrogation room with Hunter C-15, aka Ruby, keep calling her that, and Loki went in the other interrogation room with Mobius. Now, originally, Mobius wanted to interrogate Sylvie, and Ravonna didn't let him do it. So that was like, you know,
that was red flag number one.
It was red flag number one right there. Like, huh. Why is that? So then we see Loki is like, you know, they're trying to get some information out of Loki, and Loki's not really trying to tell Mobius shit. And Mobius, he's like, you turn your back on me. Mobius is like, nigga, you turn your back on me. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, what the fuck you talking about? So he sends him into like this little red portal, and you see him like in this room, and then we see our one of our first surprising you know, appearances of the show. We see Sif. Lady Sif is back. And in this episode from, you know, the first two Thors. And if you watched any of the early seasons of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., she was also on them, a couple episodes on there. She's back, and she's basically in there telling Loki that he was going to be alone, and she was mad at him for cutting off her hair as in a prank. And she punches him in the fucking face. But it's like a loop. Kind of reminded me of Doctor Strange's battle with Dormammu at the end of Doctor Strange. It just went over and over and over again, and Loki was getting tired of getting punched in the fucking mouth. And so, like, he kind of, like, talked her out of it. It was like, oh, I am, like, you know, like, he's kind of, like, have a revelation with himself. Like, I'm selfish. I want the attention. I am going to always be alone. And then, I don't remember, then, did she, like, punch him again, or she just, like, you're right about that. You are going to be alone. She walked off.
Yeah, she said, you're always going to be, you're always going to be alone.
Okay. Okay, so that's what it was. So so basically that's what you have from there. So basically he's like, you know, basically trying to figure out how the fuck you're gonna get out of this. And so then we see Mobius. There was like a comment Mobius made that, you know, he said, we didn't have to deal with Lokis, Titans, Krees, and Vampire. This is why this comment is interesting to me. Of course, we know Titans is Thanos. Thanos family will be introduced to the rest of his family in fucking Eternals this fall. The Kree, we know who the fuck the Kree are. But vampires, this was interesting to me because who's the vampire hunter? Blade, nigga. Blade. So we have our first kind of Blade, you know, Easter egg right here, which I felt was interesting and something that, you know, I love about this show. And just all the Disney shows in general, little Easter eggs that lead to other things. So that was kind of cool to me. And then you see Ravonna has a convo with Mobius, because Mobius, before he sent Loki into the room with Sif, Loki was telling this nigga, like, you being played. The TVA is not real. I mean, the TVA took you from your own timeline. You're a real person. You weren't created by the timekeepers. And he's telling, kind of telling, you know, actually, no, I skipped that. No, tripping. I am tripping. Let's call it time. All right. So Ravonna's combo with Mobius. Remember, yeah, they were in the, yeah, there we go. Ravonna's convo of Mobius, they were in her little office or whatever. So they were drinking. And so this is after Loki told him that, you know, he wasn't created by the timekeepers. The TVA kidnapped him and took him from his actual timeline. So he's really kind of, you know, suspicious of Ravonna the whole time. And she's sitting there like somebody who just cracked a big case. Oh, we're doing this for us. You can even kind of tell Ravonna that she knew that Mobius, there was something off with him from usual, and then she was trying to, you know, kind of pick up on. And they were sitting there drinking, and he was like, oh, we know, I thank you, you know, I appreciate this. Where are you gonna take the Loki's like a knife or something? Where are you gonna put this trophy? So she puts it up in her trophy room, and then you can see he looks at her a little time stamp or whatever it is. What's that thing called? The time lamp.
You talking about the little tablet?
Yeah, the little tablet. Yeah,
time tablet is the best way I can describe it.
Tablet. One, so he sees hers. And when she's not looking, he switches hers with his to basically, you know what I'm saying? So he can see what the fuck it is. So then he's getting ready to leave. Like, oh, I'm just going to go. You know, it's been a long day of talking to Loki's. And she's like, are you sure? Only one glass? This is a career case. And he's like, oh, no, I'm fine. And so basically he leaves. And so we see Hunter C-15 because Hunter C-15, when she finds out that C-20 is dead, she starts, you know, wondering about things. And so she goes in there with her interrogation with Sylvie, and she's like, we need to talk. So Sylvie takes her back to, she takes Sylvie back to the Roxxon grocery store from like episode 2. when we originally found Sylvie. Mm-hmm. And basically she's like, what did you do when you touched me? Like, it was something, it wasn't a memory. It wasn't something that was made up. It felt like a memory. Like that place felt familiar. So Sylvie basically told her, yo, you're not created by the timekeepers. The TVA kidnapped you. You had a life, you had your own family, you had your own, you know, life going on. And so she's like, and so Hunter C-15 is just like shocked now. And she's like, okay, what do we do now? So it's like they're getting ready to hatch a plan. So then we go to Mobius. Mobius is walking around in the little library area of the TVA that we saw from episode 1. And he goes into one of the aisles where nobody can see him. And he looks at the timestamp machine that he stole from Ravonna. And he looks up what happened to Hunter C-20. And it says, deceased. And you see like a video, kind of like an interrogation video. And this video kind of reminded me of the video we saw in the WWE when Triple H was really the one who beat up Shawn Michaels. He was like, yeah, you're damn right, it was me, Shawn. So you can see Hunter C-20 is basically saying like, no, this is real. I knew those people. I knew that bar. I've been there before. And you see Ravonna in the background like, cut this bullshit off. And so basically knowing they killed her after that, and she just didn't die like she told Mobius. And Mobius realizes, oh, shit. Like Loki wasn't fucking lying. So he goes back to the interrogation room and he tells and talks to Loki about it again. And basically come to an agreement that, yo, we need to take these motherfuckers out. So they go back to the TVA and Ravonna finds out the timestamp got stolen. So she goes in there. She's got a couple of the Minutemen with her, and she has her, what's that little thing they eliminate people? What's the actual word they call it?
It's a time baton. Like, I have no clue.
Not the time. Obviously the time. What was the word they use when they eliminate them?
We said prune.
Prune. That's what it was. She has a little prune weapon with her. And basically she's like, yeah, you have my timestamp. He said, oh, we know we got her mixed up. At this time, she knows that Mobius is full of shit. Mobius is starting to get the feeling that he knows he's about to get pruned. It's going to be a wrap for him. He said, Ravonna, you know what I would do if I could do anything? I would go back to the life that y'all took me from, and I would go ride on one of those jet skis. Remember from the jet ski magazine that we saw in episode 2. And we were wondering where the fuck that came from. It's because Mobius actually had an actual life before. And so Ravonna, and you can still see like she's quote unquote, like not quote unquote, but like fake emotional with it as she prunes Mobius. And this was the first what the fuck moment to me. Cause I'm like, oh shit, nigga, y'all done killed off Owen Wilson. And then you see Loki's like, what the fuck? And they take Loki into custody. And then you see them walking into the hallway. Loki's in the custody. And they've got Sylvie now. And we don't see Hunter C-15, which is something you pay attention to. So now they're on the gold elevator going up to meet with the timekeepers. And Sylvie's just still kind of there heartbroken. And she's looking at Ravonna and was like, what did I do? You know, what did I break? What rule did I break in the sacred timeline for you to take me? And this is where Ravonna goes full heel. And she's like, why does it matter? She said, well, it should have been something big if you took me for my entire life. And then Ravonna has a little evil heel laugh. She's like, I don't even remember. So then we get up to the first floor with the timekeepers. And this is when the massive fight breaks out. C-20 runs down the ramp like Kurt Angle when he joined the Alliance and basically starts a fight. So there's a big fight. And then you see in this whole fight, they cut off the head of the timekeepers and kind of find out these niggas are like the same fucking robots that you see at Chuck E. Cheese. That's exactly who the fucking timekeepers were. The animatronics. And so now I'm like, that's another what the fuck moment. What the fuck is going on? So a whole battle ensues and it ends with Ravonna pruning Loki as Loki was about to confess his love to Sylvie, which is hilarious. Basically, the nigga was in love with himself.
Yeah, people, I saw there are
Stan accounts for Loki, which is whatever. Weird. Don't get me started. And they were saying, "Oh, this is like incest." I'm like, "Nigga, this is the multiverse. What if these are not? They're related to the simple fact that they play a role in time, but they're different people." That's a girl. Who cares? It's for narrative's sake. I don't really care. Not important to me.
Exactly.
So yeah, it was. I was fine with it. So continue.
And so after all of that, you see, basically, he's about to confess his love for Sylvie. He's like, you know, I'm new to this. You know, I don't know how to say it. And Sylvie's basically like, say what the fuck you got to say. And as he's getting ready to tell her, he gets pruned.
Clapped.
By Ravonna, and that's when I completely lost my shit. I was like, nigga, literally yelled at my TV, like, what the fuck? The fuck? And by the way, this had to be the first episode of Loki where the whole timeline was tweeting again. It felt like WandaVision, Falcon Winter Soldier Day, because everybody was tweeting about it, and they brought the whole timeline. I was like, what the fuck? And that was just like, oh shit, we were officially like jumped everything right now. Like everything that I thought was gonna happen isn't gonna happen. So once that happened, they get ready to fight, and basically Sylvie still steals the prune stick from Ravonna, and Ravonna, she points at Ravonna. Ravonna's like, just do it. And she's like, nah, you're gonna fucking tell me everything. And that's when it ends. And then we go to the post-credit scene. And I knew it was gonna be a post-credit scene. The last three episodes of each Disney Plus series are usually one with the end credit scenes. So you see Loki, he wakes up and he's like, am I in hell? Am I dead? And you hear a voice in the background like, nah, you're not dead yet, but if you don't follow us, you will be. And then they switch, and you see older Loki, kid Loki, which is Young Avenger number 4 introduced. If you're taking count of all the Young Avengers introduced so far in the MCU, this is Young Avenger number 4. And then you had Black Loki. So I'm going to give the floor to you to explain these three Lokis.
I mean, there ain't nothing much that needs to be explained. That's classic Loki from the comics, the one you see that wears straight up yellow and has the long helmet with the I don't know what you want to call those, I'm about to say antlers in my head, but the pointy things, the sharp edges over to it. There's Kid Loki, which is the kid version of Loki, which you will find in the Young Avengers. Remember, within the multiverse, Loki is straight up bad and evil. He is anti-hero and he's hero. The last Loki, I'm not sure if that's unworthy Loki holding the unworthy Mjolnir, which he enchanted to be picked up by those who are unworthy, or if that is Stormbringer. And there's Stormbringer that he put together himself that he used for he created someone or enchanted someone to basically be his unworthy Thor. So I'm not 100% sure if that's unworthy Loki that is wielding a Mjolnir or just a Stormbringer. I'm assuming Stormbringer, but it could have been that, because unworthy Mjolnir looked like Mjolnir. So that's Thor's hammer for those who don't know. I'm assuming you do know. I'm not 100% sure if that's unworthy Loki or not. I'm sure some of these websites have figured it out, but classic Loki, kid Loki, and nigga Loki.
nigga Loki.
So I'm intrigued to see what they're going to say with that one. But that's my best guess.
So that's basically what we get from this episode, man. And I think the main thing that I took from it is, now when you were saying before we did the breakdown, is you still think that the timekeepers are real. I think somehow, I don't think we're going to see Kane, because that would be way too much big of a reveal for a fucking TV show. But I think that nigga's in the background. Like, he definitely get that real Triple H and Stephanie McMahon Helmsley era on real soon. Like, I think you're going to at least be referenced to him in these last two episodes. And that's gonna be exciting, man. I'm really excited to see where this goes. This was like the biggest episode so far. I saw a couple of you niggas after the show was boring. There's no way you can watch that episode and think it's boring, because now like there's so many endless possibilities of where this could go.
Yeah, I'm not sure how. Of course, everything is relative and everything is subjective, but I'm not sure how you can have a show that has such great acting. And also a narrative that is so solid. I mean, of course, it's subjective, but the narrative does not have anything that would make you believe that it's like something that's out of pace or anything. It looks straightforward. So I would be confused by those who make that comment. It flows great, unless you just don't like comic book movies or you're tired of Marvel. But even then, this doesn't have a regular Marvel formula. Yeah. So No, I think it's the best Marvel TV show by far, because it's trying to be itself and it's trying to tell a story without necessarily fitting into a pattern. You know what I mean?
Definitely. So that is Loki episode 4. We're going to do more next week, but let's talk about the new Shang-Chi trailer, which I was able to watch like last Friday, because when it dropped, it was doing a pregame of Clippers Suns game 3, and I was at the game, so I didn't get to see it. This trailer, nigga, was cold as shit. Now, the first one, the teaser, was cool, but this one, you saw more of the fight scenes. You saw him actually in the Shang-Chi outfit. You saw him, like, the end fight that's going to be him versus his dad, who's the Mandarin, which is going to be great. And we see the Abomination fighting Wong, which is confirmed by Kevin Feige that there was Abomination and Wong at the end of it. And my excitement that I have for this movie is, like, through the roof now. I'm like, super hyped to see this fucking movie. There's like so many different ways that this shit can go.
There's so much I have to learn about Shang-Chi myself that I'm going to read a few of Shang-Chi comics and his origin. I'm like, nah, you know, I'm just gonna let the movie help me with that, and then I will go from there. Right now, I'm just really excited to see it. I'm excited to see where the story goes. I'm excited to see how they bring it in and how he will fit into the MCU. You know, it's always good to tell a story, but how will you then show it and combine it together with the greater MCU?
Yeah, I think they're building. I'm really interested to see, like, when next time we see Nick Fury, what's the update on the Avengers rebuild? Like, yeah. Who's going to be in the main roster? You know what I'm saying? Like, we already know that the next Captain Marvel movie isn't really just a Captain Marvel movie. It's actually called The Marvels now. So there's going to be a lot of people auditioning. Who's going to make the final cut Nick Fury, a.k.a. Jerry West, is going to put together the new team, man. So I just think Marvel right now is really starting to gear up. I'm still waiting to see when the fuck What If is dropping. We haven't gotten any confirmation, hasn't been any trailer, but there's been toy leaks. So I don't know if they're waiting for Loki to end. Maybe there's something in Loki that will be inspired in What If, and they're waiting for that trailer to drop. So I'm really interested to see what that is, because you do know they introduced Loki, WandaVision, Falcon, Winter Soldier all at one time. So maybe they'll introduce What If, Hawkeye, and Miss Marvel all at one time, because all three of those are supposed to still drop this year. Now, there's one thing I want to talk about with toy releases. Yo, Sony be doing some bullshit, bro. Now we know that Doctor Strange is going to be in a fucking movie.
Is that Sony's fault, or who is the toy creator?
Sony owns the merchandise for Spider-Man.
But they still have to go through a third party to get it created.
Yeah, and so, but the trailer usually comes out first. But since Marvel has to wait for Sony when Sony wants to release the fucking trailer, because Spider-Man's still a Sony entity. It's just a collaboration.
A collaboration.
So now we know Spider-Man's, we know all the niggas' suits, and we know the Doctor Strange is in the movie. Good job.
That's unfortunate.
Good fucking job. So I was slightly upset about that.
I mean, nigga, shit is what it is.
I mean, it would have been cool to see the trailer, like, oh shit, nigga, Doctor Strange.
Yeah, it would have, but I mean, it's not like you know the narrative of the story. You just know the big reveal, which sucks in of itself. But yeah, it's not that I'm going to just lose sleep over. It is what it is.
I'm not going to lose sleep over, but they're going to have to – y'all niggas got to – if Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire are in the movie, you got to put them niggas in the trailer now.
Yeah. We didn't see any reveal of them in the toy, did we?
No.
Okay.
There's just rumors at this point. I don't even – like I said, I don't know if anything that's come from that set is true, because, like, they've been keeping that and fucking – Doctor Strange 2 under wraps. Like, we really,
I mean, studios have done different things now. Studios, like, the same how they hid what's his name, Luke Skywalker, Mark Hamill. Remember, the nigga was on stage in a cloak.
Well, they did the same thing with Iron Man. Remember, they said they pulled Sam Jackson's Escalade up to, like, literally he did his shit and he left.
Yeah. So if they were doing that, I wouldn't be shocked if they hit it well and people don't know, or people just took a wild guess. I would like to see Andrew Garfield and Tom Holland. I think it's a way to honor what they have both done in their roles as Spider-Man, specifically Tobey Maguire, because Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man sucked. But yeah, Tobey Maguire, Andrew Garfield, Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man sucked, but the movie was iconic.
Right. You know, it was iconic because we didn't have none of Spider-Man at the time.
Exactly. Now with Tom Holland, it's like, you know, you can only go up for here. And whoever Spider-Man after him, I'm assuming will be in that same lineage and that same sort of, it's like when I was watching Homecoming, and when Peter messed up with those people on the boat trying to intervene with those weapons. And he was like, you told when Iron Man appeared to him and said, if you really cared, you'd be here. And then Tony Stark walks out. That fear, like he was a kid while talking to an adult. You're not going to get that from an Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire, who are grown-ass men. Tom Holland was like, what, 18, 17? How old is Tom Holland?
Tom Holland, he was 17 at the time. When he did Civil War, he was 17. So he's like 22 now.
Tom Holland is 25 years old.
He's 25?
Born in 1996.
So they shot Civil War in 2015. So that was 6 years ago. So he was 19.
2015, yeah, because I was old. So, and Spider-Man Homecoming was 2017. So he's about, yeah. But he was young enough to where it could work. But with Tobey Maguire was like freaking, how old was Tobey Maguire? Now I have to look up the time. Spider-Man 1, 2002. Tobey Maguire was born in 1975. So he was almost 30 something years old.
Right.
The Amazing Spider-Man. The Amazing Spider-Man was a 2012 film. And let's look up Andrew Garfield's age. Andrew Garfield. Which I was shocked to find this nigga is American and British. I think he was, yeah.
Every time I think of Andrew Garfield, I think him being mad at Zuckerberg and Social Network, and he was hating Justin Timberlake's characters.
So Andrew Garfield was 29 years old when he debuted as Spider-Man. He was old. He's an old nigga. You know what I'm saying? So these are two different characters, whereas Tom Holland's 19. And on top of that, Tom Holland looks young. Spider-Man, well, different incarnations. He was taller, but he was smaller. It just worked with Tom Holland. But I would like for them to pay homage to Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield for, you know, laying that foundation, specifically Tobey Maguire. I'm all for it, man. Make the movie crazy. But I know for right now, the main genesis and character of focus on Marvel is Doctor Strange and Wanda. Scarlet Witch. They seem to be, I know for sure multiversal war is finna break out. And I think that will be the main focus on this next.
They use the phrase multiversal war in Loki.
Yeah.
This shit is not just in there just to be in there.
So I think this is the start of multiversal events, and it's not going to, like we had, that was the Infinity Saga. This is not going to be the multiversal saga and they end it. No. There will be arcs within the multiversal saga. I would love for them to end it with Time Runs Out and end it with Secret Wars decades from now, however long they do it. You know, bring in Doom, bring in the Beyonders. There's so much stuff they can do it. So,
yeah, definitely excited for that, man. Another trailer dropped. There's a lot of trailers, though. You know, Hollywood's trying to bring their shit back right now. Many Saints of Newark trailer.
Fire.
Those of you who don't know, this is a Sopranos prequel. It's basically the Tony Soprano origin story. And nigga, that trailer was fucking fire, nigga. Like, first of all, Michael Gandolfini looks just like his dad. Has the same mannerism. Remember that first scene in the trailer, and he's on the phone, and dude's like, "Hey, what do you say? Hey, dickhead, or whatever you say. Hey, douchebag." And he's like, he looked at him like, "What'd you say to me?"
He said, "What'd you say?"
I was like, "Nigga, is that fucking the GOAT, nigga?" It was just like the whole trailer was awesome. You see, how you pronounce my man? Ray Liotta. That's pronounced
Ray Liotta, sir.
Ray Liotta. I don't, you know, Ray Liotta. He was in there. Corey Stahl is gonna be in there. They got my man, the Punisher's playing Uncle June. This is going to be an incredible fucking movie. The cast looks great. It looked awesome. And when they played, when at the end, because you know they've got Chris's uncle in there. Mm-hmm. Ducky, what's my
name? Chris's father.
Oh, you said he leave his nephew alone. Is that a father?
That would be Chris's father then.
Because that's Chris's father. Okay.
So
remember at the end, he said, "I need you to do one thing for me." He was telling him. He told him,
"Stay out of his life."
Yeah. Did he say leave your nephew alone?
Yeah.
So then, wouldn't that be Chris' uncle?
Okay, let's see. Chris is what to Tony? His cousin?
That's his cousin, yeah.
So that's his
cousin. So maybe he was talking about Tony then. He was talking about Tony.
Yeah, so that's his cousin. That means they share a grandmother and their mothers are sisters. So or fathers or brothers.
Okay.
So that means that would be...
Tony would be his nephew then.
Tony would be his nephew. So I guess that could be Chris's father.
Okay, right, right. Okay, right, right. So he was referencing Tony when he said, stay away from your nephew. Yeah. And then when that Sopranos music hit, it's them fucking... And them fucking credits hit, nigga, I got chills, bro. I cannot fucking wait for that movie. I might actually go to the theater to see that shit.
Oh, what do you mean actually? Oh, it's on HBO Max.
Yeah, huh?
I'm not going to the theater.
You still not comfortable going to the theater yet?
Sorry, that's my alarm with Dan Marino. I'm not going to edit this out. Alexa, stop.
You start your day with a loser?
First off, don't disrespect one of the greatest of all time. But dude, I sleep through everything. So that alarm, and they was like, pick a voice. Would you like to have Dan Marino? I'm like, oh yeah, sure. But anyway, I think one of the best things about The Sopranos is the fact that the story just has so many layers that you haven't told. It's like with The Wire, I wouldn't want to see a Wire movie. What's the point?
Yeah, I'm not going to stunt. I would love a movie on the Barksdale Rise. Because when season one starts, they're already the top dogs.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind a movie on Avon's Rise or the Barksdale Family Power.
Yeah.
I'd see that.
That's because it's I don't know. This is how Tony became Tony, but it's also how it's just so much more. Yeah, I guess when I think about it, I wouldn't mind it. But I think with The Sopranos, if I look at The Wire versus The Sopranos, who has the more beloved characters in The Wire between the two? I would probably say Sopranos.
White people love The Wire. I think it's a toss-up. See, the difference is this, though. Sopranos was appreciated while it was on. I feel like The Wire got major love after it went off air. Like, when it was on, it was more of a cult classic.
Yeah.
Like only the cool people knew about The Wire. I didn't know about The Wire until it came on BET for like two seasons. Remember when they took a break and they edited fucking everything out. It was really no point even watching it. But once it went off TV, then it started becoming the phenomenon it is. So I probably have to say Sopranos by a slight edge, because I think Tony Soprano is the greatest HBO character ever, and maybe the greatest TV character ever.
Yeah.
So I'm beyond excited for that movie. And honestly, when I watch the movie, that's gonna start a whole rewatch for me. I gotta watch the prequel within the series now. Like, there might be stuff in the series that you appreciate more because of the prequel. You know what I'm saying? And it's made by David Chase, so you know everything in there is gonna be A1. So
I'm glad that it's not a spinoff, but I guess you could call it a spinoff, that is featuring the actual person who made it, and it's not something that's unauthorized cash grab. Everything is a cash grab, but it's not unauthorized and they're just doing it on their own accord just to make money. I'm happy to see that they're actually with the people who made it, especially seeing David Chase take over there. And then it's the music, bro. Like, it's just everything about it is just iconic, and I'm just really, really, really stoked to see what's going to happen within this film.
Definitely, man. One last thing before we get out here, we're going to talk about F9, the Fast Saga. I have made my glorious return to the movie theaters this past Tuesday. I had a fucking blast. I miss going to the movies, man. Movie is like my favorite thing to do by myself. And I was one of the people who I was like, how do niggas go to the fucking movies by themselves? Like, literally, I was one of those guys. And the first movie I saw by myself was Entourage movie, because nobody wanted to go with me. So I was like, nigga, I'm going to see Entourage, so I'm gonna go. And after that, I just realized how therapeutic it is, nigga. It's just so, even if you're in a theater full of people, it still kind of feels like I'm there by myself, because I'm not with people who I'm, you know, who I know. So that's just kind of like a hobby for me. And I really like the outside of Marvel releases, I go during the daytime. Less people in the theater, the better. Like, if it's a Marvel release, nigga, I'll deal with the packed house. Like, watching Endgame and Infinity War with a packed crowd is just two great experiences that I'll never fucking forget. But I was like, yo, let me go see F9. You know, I did a Fast and Furious rewatch before I did that, and just watch how ridiculous these movies are. You know, it's the most ridiculous movie franchise of all time. You know, as I come on this podcast and I say it's trash, I've started to treat Fast and Furious the way I treat Power. Like, they're not supposed to make sense. If you just accept it for the entertainment value and not try to make it as, oh, da da da, this stinks, that's where you can take the joy out. Like the first three Fast and Furious movies, like this TikTok video I said today, it used to be about racing, coronas, and bad bitches. And that's what the first three are. Then the fourth one is like some Mission Impossible shit. And then 5, 6, 7, and 8, these niggas became the Avengers. So F9, man, I go in there with low expectations. Like, I'm just like, I'm expecting some crazy ass shit. And this is the most ridiculous movie I've ever seen in my fucking life. The first 30 minutes were the best part, and that tells you everything to know, because in that first 30 minutes, this nigga, Tyrese, fucking, they were driving trucks over bombs, like a landmine. And so this nigga truck gets stuck in between like two cliffs. And the truck is like right hovering on top of the landmine. And so this nigga finds a way to escape, barely misses the landmine. Then the fucking truck he's driving drops on the landmine. A big explosion happens in front of this nigga. He escapes the explosion. Then the car fucking falls. And it looks like it falls on his ass. A bomb, I don't know if it's a bomb or a car, falls on his ass. And you see Ramsey and Ludacris. I'm not calling Luda and Tyrese by their cast names, by the way. I'm not calling these niggas Roman and Tej. You niggas are Ludacris and Tyrese. So Luda and Ramsey are sitting like, oh shit, Tyrese just died. And guess what? This nigga is living like a motherfucker. And this is all in the first 20 minutes, bro. First 20 minutes. We get the Dom little origin story. As you see, Nicholas Batum from the Clippers was playing Young Dom. And you see, like, the whole thing. I was like, oh, this is hilarious. You got, you know, a Mexican dude who gave birth to a black dude and a white dude. Good job, Hollywood. Good fucking job. And yes, Vin Diesel, you are a nigga. I've seen your kids here. That's a nigga here. You definitely are black.
Is he black? I don't know what race he is.
He don't know what race he is either, but look, this is my theory. First of all, he looks like he's half black. Two, his mother claims his father died and she didn't know what race he was. Yeah, bullshit. And then Vin Diesel's Vin Diesel's actual stepfather who married his mother after his father died is a black man. So that means she has a type. I'm putting two and two together. That nigga's a nigga. So
funny as hell.
And John Cena is white as shit. Not only is he white, that nigga's from Boston. That nigga is white.
True.
So for him to be a Toretto is hilarious. But anyway, you see the whole backstory of that. And it's just like, I feel like after the first 30 minutes, it's like the fucking storyline was everywhere. First they went and made a film like Jacob Toretto, who's John Cena, was the reason that Dom's father died. And he kind of like set up, like fucked up the engine when he's on the racetrack. And I was just like, okay, then you had that. Then we find later on that he didn't kill him and it was a mistake. And I guess Jake Toretto didn't care if he died because the family was such in debt. And it was just some weird shit, like the shit went up. Then Han comes back. Because then you see Mia Toretto and fucking, Letty went to China and they're about to get killed and some random nigga comes out saving them and it's fucking Han. Then we find out.
Vin Diesel with a fro, bro.
Look at that fro. He's black.
I've seen enough.
He's black as shit.
I have seen enough, brother.
That is a nigga. So
his children's hair is very, very Negro.
Yeah, exactly. Vin Diesel, you're one of us. Your family.
Your family.
So, you know, and then it's just like the storyline goes everywhere. Then we find out Han wasn't really dead, that Mr. Nobody faked his death to get what's my man who Jason Statham, what's his character's name? Deckard Shaw. To get Shaw off his back, that they faked Han's death. And now he's like, oh, now comes the hard part, keeping you dead. So it just went from one extreme to another. Then at the end, which is the most predictable ending ever. Everybody knew that Jacob was become family at the end. You know, we found out that Charlize Theron's character was the real boss and she puts Jacob out. And then Mia saves this nigga. Mia Toretto, Jordana Brewster, the actress who plays her, she can't be heavier than 130 pounds. Lift this big 250 pound ass nigga off a fucking truck and lands this nigga on top of a Lamborghini. Get out of my face. And then Dom pulls up on him and has that look like, you family now. And at the end, he's like, you know, when I escaped, they gave me a 10-second car. It's about time I repay the favor. And he gives Jacob a 10-second car as Jacob goes on a run against fucking terrorists and fucking super assassins. And then how does this movie end? Like every Fast and Furious movie, these niggas have... Oh, hold on. I didn't get to the most ridiculous part. I forgot. The niggas from Tokyo Drift come back. Bow Wow, the other Asian nigga and the other country nigga come back. And these niggas put Tyrese and Luda in space on a fucking Pontiac. They have the Pontiac on top of a jet and they put it at an altitude of speed so these niggas can float into space. So they float into space. They destroy a satellite with the Pontiac car. Destroy the satellite. And then there just happen to be some NASA niggas in the air and they bring these niggas back to Earth. So then we go to the last scene. The last scene, these niggas having a trademark barbecue. And then they're like, who's going to say the prayer now? And they have Dom's son, Brian Toretto, says, by the way, that was the most talking baby of all time. Like, I was like, that baby wouldn't have that many words this age. Fuck out of here. So the baby's getting ready to say the prayer. And then Mia looks like, Dom looks at the empty seat like, there's a seat missing. And then Mia looks at like, he's coming. Then you see this nigga, Brian O'Connor's car, pull into the lot. And then they just fade out. I'm like, oh, yeah, Paul Walker came from the dead, nigga, and fucking drove E down. And you know what's even more egregious about that? Let's just say Brian's character he's alive like he is, right? So you're telling me the world needs to be saved again, and this nigga Brian O'Connor is like, you know what, babe? I'll stay home and watch the kids. You go save the world. Get the fuck out of here. That completely goes against who Brian O'Connor was for 7 movies. So I just want to say, stop making these shits, bro. Stop. It was 2.5 hours. This nigga Dom was hopping on buildings and Tims and wife beaters like fucking Spider-Man. And there wasn't a scratch on this nigga's wife beater at all.
Bro, that's the point, bro.
It's fucking ridiculous. Don't get me wrong. I enjoyed it from a nigga. I said, get the fuck out of here in that theater at least 10 times. Like at least 10 times. So I'm not going to sit up here and say I was definitely entertained. It's just, it was a terrible actual. If we look at it from cinema eyes, it was bad. But, you know, Fast and Furious, well, Fast 10 is coming soon. They're supposed to be doing a part 1 and a part 2. It's going to be like some Infinity War Endgame type shit. The final Toretto. Like, who knows where the fuck this shit's going to end, man. So that's my thoughts on F9.
You basically, I saw a cam version of it, and it was, I mean, it's what I expected from a Fast and Furious movie. I'm here to laugh. I'm here to see family. And nothing more. I'm not here to take anything good from a shitty film franchise that makes a crap ton of money. You know, I'll give them that, but you know, that's what the characters do. You know what I'm saying? It's about family. And it's about Vin Diesel.
It's about doing family.
Your family and about Vin Diesel doing something unexpected. I mean, it was one of was it Fast? Was it one before the one before that?
Fated to Furious.
And
Fate of Furious actually has my favorite Fast and Furious scene where these niggas was racing on fucking ice in a fucking submarine, fucking dropped the middle ice and none of them niggas drowned.
And was that the one where The Rock pushed the torpedo with his arm?
Yes, yes.
That's a classic scene, brother. That's
Now I like that scene. I like Fast 8.
This is cinema.
This is cinema right here. And by the way, this movie missed The Rock.
Yeah. Yeah.
This movie, Mr. Rock and Jason Statham, because I love the scene where he was saving Dom's baby. That was hilarious. He's like, you were going to shoot me in front of a child? And he breaks the nigga's neck. If you haven't seen Hobbs and Shaw, watch Hobbs and Shaw. I thoroughly enjoyed that. So
I haven't seen Hobbs and Shaw.
No, you got to watch Hobbs and Shaw. I watched Hobbs and Shaw 30,000 feet above the air on a flight last year going to All-Star Weekend. I was drunk as hell. Nigga, I felt like I was on them fucking skyscrapers with The Rock. I was like, I feel like that, what's that nigga, P.O.? Oh my God!
Does it cost too much to bring The Rock back? Because I don't...
No, remember him and Vin Diesel don't fuck with each other.
Oh, that's it. That's
but they squashed the beef like a couple months ago after... You gotta remember, Fast 9 was finished in 2018. It was supposed to drop in 2019. Then they pushed it back to 2020 because of editing. Then they had to push back again because of the pandemic.
Mm.
So they're already shooting F10.
Okay.
They've been shooting that shit for a minute. So So I guess him and Vin Diesel squash their beef now, because I seen them comment on each other's Instagram posts. I guess like it's all love. And then Tyrese went on Ellen last week and said that him and The Rock are cool again, and they talk all the time.
Okay. Because I know The Rock had posted something on Instagram like when it first happened.
Oh, he was talking at, he was talking spicy.
He was talking, well, I should have had to whoop some ass on set.
Yeah, like, nobody right. Yeah, come on, you know the people's champ was kicking ass. Vin Diesel can fight, probably look like he can fight, but he ain't fighting The Rock.
No.
The Rock beat his ass. But Vin Diesel was saucy because The Rock saved the franchise.
He did.
He was the franchise saver. That Fast Fears on the ropes to add The Rock on Fast Five.
Yeah. You know, it's we didn't come there to see family. We came there because, oh man, The Rock's in this? Okay, yeah. Let's see what The Rock got going on. And then you realize these niggas are no longer who you remember them as. They're the yeah. Avengers now. You're like, okay, I'm gonna check this out. So yeah, The Rock saved the franchise. Be happy.
Happy, nigga. But that is our jam-packed episode of Cinema with the Guys. We're gonna this be back.
Amazing rant on why he hates the series.
I don't hate it. It's just unreal. I don't hate Fast and Furious. It's entertaining. It's ridiculous. The ridiculousness, like the fact that somebody wrote that script,
it's hilarious,
and got paid, just tells me I can do anything. That's the only thing with it. It's like Power. Like, we know Power's ridiculous. You know what I'm saying? 50 Cent was in a fucking burning house. He came back two episodes later. It's the same shit. It's the same shit. By the way, the Kanan trailer looks hard. The St. Patrick Cinematic Universe is back. It's July 18th.
Jesus.
I'm with it. But anyway, we're going to holler at y'all next week, man. You know to follow us at Barbershed Scott, at Flo Zandolini, at Barbershed Network, patreon.com/Barbershed Network. We'll be back next week.